Kane is in the building.
Guys, you know how much we love Liberty shirts. Their flannels are unbelievable, and when we were job hunting, we wore Liberty shirts for our interviews and now to work every day. We thought Liberty was our secret until we started seeing their shirts on TV on Fox Sports every Saturday and Sunday. Now we know they are for real, but they are still our secret. Save 10% on your order when you enter the promo code 3PEAT at checkout.
Hello, and welcome back to another 3PEAT podcast episode, season 4, episode 6. I am your host, Josh Fromwitz, and once again, joining me are my co-hosts,
Stephen Benazzo
and Alex Castle.
We got a huge episode planned this week. Joining us is our social media guy, TJ. TJ, welcome to the show again.
Oh, thanks for having me back, gentlemen. Feels good.
And it's awesome TJ joins the show because we got a special guest. Joining us is New York Giants super fan, Joe Ruback, also known as License Plate Guy. Joe, LPG, welcome to the 3PEAT podcast.
What's up, Hartford boys?
We are so happy and honored to have you joining us today. I've known you for quite some time. These boys are Giant fans. They know you as the crazy super fan who they wish they could be. So I'm sure they're thrilled to see you and talk some Giant football with you today.
I appreciate you guys having me on, seriously. And don't wish that much because I got plenty of bills to pay from this crazy, insane stuff that I do. So don't wish that hard.
So, Joe, my first question for you is, how did you become so involved with the New York Football Giants and become the super fan that you are, being close with all the players, as opposed to just being a normal diehard fan like all of us, basically?
Well, I think... Josh, I think it starts with, you know, pre-social media, to be honest with you. That's where relationships and trust kind of formed. You know, I'm no different than you guys. I was, you know, born and bred into the Giants fandom with my dad, my grandfather, my aunts, everybody, uncles, doesn't matter if you were, you had to be a Giants fan or you got put up for adoption. So, you know, you were a Giants fan no matter what, and I started going to games very, very early, you know, 5-6 years old, and it was kind of like, you know, family day, you know, with my dad. So we went and got sandwiches, and you weren't allowed to eat until halftime, and, you know, like, you know, we were on a schedule, and, you know, then I became, you know, I was 16 years old, I went and got the Giants license plate. I knew I wanted to get that when I was 16. I knew when I was 10 that I wanted to get a specialized plate. And I remember my mom taking me to motor vehicles, and Giants was taken. And I had to get the G1, which I don't want to say out loud, but I'm going to. I cried like a baby until my mom was like, stop crying. But it was her idea to put the one in there. And you know, little did I know how great it would be, because it's really like Giants number one ants, you know, Giants. And it's on my card to this day. I still have it to this day. And I love it. So moving forward, you know, becoming a super fan or friends with the players, that took a lot of years, guys. I mean, a lot of years, because you do have to gain that trust. You know, these guys are seeing you week in and week out when I really decided to start following the team. And although I've been to 40-plus home games in a row, this is my 21st home and away season. So back then, it really started with Brandon Jacobs. I'm in a hotel, I forgot where, might have been Dallas. And I've told this story a million times. I am walking, and all I hear is, hey, you, in a deep-ass voice. And I know he's not talking to me. And he's like, yeah, I'm talking to you. And I'm like, you talking to me? And Jacob's like, yeah, who the fuck are you? Pardon my language. And I was like, I didn't even know what to say. And the rest is history. We went to the bar. We had something to eat. And we talked for hours. And he introduced me to players. And you know, I know it's a cliche, but the rest is history. And that's how I really became friends with a lot of players.
That's awesome. I mean, just to hear and Brandon Jacobs was a pretty big time player, you know, for the Giants during that time. He helped lead them to, you know, some of those Super Bowls. So for him to like find you and point you out, yeah, that's awesome.
And again, and then, you know, Steve, it was like, you know, I was 15 years old and I babysat for Joe Morris's kids. I was 17. I was playing golf with LT. And that's a funny story in itself, because I was such a crazy fan that the Giants would stay at this hotel called the Woodcliff Lake Hilton in Montvale, Woodcliff Lakes, and on Saturday night before home games. And I used to go there every single Saturday night that they were home games, and I'd get autographs and I'd take pictures and I'd hang out with Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick and Lawrence Taylor and you know, Brad Van Pelt. I mean, you name it, they were just in the lobby. And I stayed there like almost all night. I don't know why, but I saw LT leave at 1 a.m. I saw some crazy stuff, but you know, I've been doing it so long that although the players knew me even back then, nothing is when you are an adult. And then Brandon Jacobs could say that we'd go grab a drink or hang out or have something to eat. Then I was just like, you know, a kid. So although I knew players before this, it really blew up when probably in the 42, 46 Super Bowls.
That's awesome. So my question for you is, I mean, we can see how passionate you are with the Giants. I mean, you're decked out in Giants gear. And then for the people, just so they know, you got Giants memorabilia and posters and all that hanging out in the back. Now, are you this passionate about any other team or just the Giants?
That's a good question. I'm a big Rangers fan, hockey. I'm a big Yankees fan. I'm a big Knicks fan. But to be honest with you, I already don't have a life because of the Giants. You think I'd have a life if I was a fan of someone else like this? No way. I'm not as diehard. I'll go to maybe a handful of Yankee games, a handful of hockey games, and one or two basketball games, but nothing will ever compete with football.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people will probably agree with that. I mean, you know, they say baseball is America's pastime, but there's nothing like football Sunday and tailgating and just the feel of the season coming back. And you look forward to every Sunday, you know, whether your team is good or not. I mean, even as a Bears fan, there hasn't been too much to celebrate in the past. You know, I mean, even though we made the playoffs the past couple of years, it hasn't ended the way I would have liked. So the only thing that I got going for me is Justin Fields. But if I didn't have that, I would probably stop watching football.
Hey, I hope that the Bears do well in 2022 because the Giants are taking your pick next year. So I hope you actually crap the bed this year so bad you have no idea. And if that means Justin Fields has a little bit of shock his first year, no problem. Don't worry about it. Next year, he'll be good.
And funny story, Castle, before you ask, I'm sorry, I got a funny story to tell Joe about the draft night. So, you know, the Bears have never had a good quarterback, ever. So all day I was just like, to tell my brother, who was a big Giants fan, I said, dude, like, and he's also an Ohio State fan, I said, I just want Justin Fields. I knew we weren't going to get Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I didn't think he was going to fall because at the time the Bears had picked 20. So then when the Eagles jumped the Giants to get Devontae, I thought, I'm like, oh, trade. Maybe the Bears were going to, you know, trade with the Cowboys because Cowboys don't need the quarterback. And then said Eagles. I'm like, don't tell me they take him. They ended up going with Devontae. So then my brother was pissed because he wanted Devontae. And he's like, the stupid Eagles and Cowboys are working against the Giants. So then I said, what if we just make a trade right here? You know, because at the time the Giants were up. And he goes, I don't care, you know. And then he texts me, he goes, dude, it's happening. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, the Bears and Giants pulled off a trade. I was like, no freaking way. Because now my heart.
You knew you were getting them. You knew you were getting Fields.
Then. I was like, Ryan Pace better not screw this up and take Mac Jones, because if he does, I'm going to fly to Chicago and I'm going to end it there. But then, you know, and then finally he said Justin Fields across the screen. And I was like, you know, I was still at school and I was running across my dorm room just going nuts. I mean, because to be honest, that was probably one of the most exciting times as a Bears fan. So, and I was kind of surprised Gettleman and Ryan Pace worked out a trade, but because Gettleman never trades down. So when he pulled it, I was so happy and a little shocked.
It is cool when you get the player that you really want, you know, especially if you wanted a trade and you got it exactly the way it worked out for you, which is pretty cool. You know, it's funny you said it was probably one of the most exciting things as a Bears fan. Boy, Steve, we got to get you some victories, man. If that was it, we got to get your team. Now I really want the Bears to do okay for you. You know, you're just suffering pretty bad, bro.
Appreciate that.
Joe, before I ask my question, I love that you brought up the Brandon Jacobs story. I don't know if you could see, but I'm repping my Jacobs jersey. It's the one Giants jersey that I got, and he used to live in my town. So Jacobs has always been one of my favorites.
You're a Wayne guy, Alex?
Yes, sir.
Say no more.
Yep. So my question for you has to do with your persona. You know, you touched upon it a little bit about the story with the license plate when you got your license, but what actually made you start to say, you know, I'm going to start repping all these license plates at the games and I'm going to be known as the license plate guy? What was really the big factor for that?
I mean, the catalyst has got to be my father. I was 16 years old. I got my plate. And I don't know if it was the first game. I really don't. But my dad's like, you know, you should wear your plate to the game. And I was like, yeah, good one. And he was like, no, really. And I think, you know, I have three sisters and a brother. They're all older. And I think one of my sisters was like, here, go take one of the shoelaces. And like, I put it on in the house or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to wear it. He's like, go ahead. And I wore it, you know, like, and then I have to put it back on the car and tape it and take it off again and put it back on the car. And I wore it to the game. And I remember, you know, Giant fans back then, guys, you don't know from this. You're all pretty young, but, you know, I know you hear it from Giant fans that were an older crowd and they don't get up on third downs for the defense and they tell you to sit down and this and that. First of all, I think that's a bunch of shit, pardon my language, because that no longer exists after PSL. However, back then, it really was an old crowd. And you were put on a waiting list. So you guys don't know from this. My dad put me on a 99-year season ticket holder waiting list when I was 2.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, I think I was 16, 17, and I'm like, oh my God, I only got 80 years left. You know, I was counting down the years because you couldn't get them. They were like rare diamonds, bro. You couldn't get them. And now, of course, PSLs ruined the game, and you got suit and ties sitting wherever they want to sit, not even worried about the game, just drinking and entertaining. But getting back to your question, Alex, sorry, is it my dad wear, you know, I wore the, he dared me, I wore it. And a lot of old Giant fans were like, hey, they won and they're superstitious. So you had to wear it again, same underwear, same socks. Like, that's how superstitious Giant fans were. And I did, and I wore it to the another victory. And I think they were on like a 3 or 4 game winning streak, which has never happened. So they were like, oh, it's the plate. And then, over the years, 1 became 2, became 4, and they were mostly all mine. And then fast forward, guys, to Super Bowl 42, the oh my God guy. And then, you know, I became license plate guy, and people from all over the country started to send plates to me. And the funniest story I have for you about that is somebody from the Giants came to my seat and said, this is for you. Please don't have your mail delivered to us. And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't send this plate to the Giants, to Giant Stadium. So it was really, really cool for people just sending plates all over the place. And that's it. License plate guy was born, and now I have, you know, 99 to 100. I'll have 100 by, you know, in 2 weeks.
That's amazing. Love that story. And I think the license plate, as we can see with history, I think the license plate works better than the fireman's hat. So I love it.
No doubt. I don't know. The fireman Ed, man, how's he getting all these commercials, man? They don't like my hair or something?
I've stopped using...
I can't get on an Uber Eats, bro.
I'm not using Uber Eats now because of it. Don't worry, Joe. We're protesting.
Exactly.
All right. To switch gears a little bit here. Joe, the offensive line didn't allow a single sack against that Saints defense. How has the line improved in your eyes? And is Andrew Thomas an elite offensive lineman? And why is your answer not yes?
Why is my answer not yes, Dad? It is yes. No. It's funny. About 3 weeks ago, I sent out a tweet that said, in about 7 weeks, the Giants are going to be on TV, and the announcer is going to say, and tonight, the Giants are starting their seventh different mix of offensive linemen. You know, that stupid stat that they show when you don't have a group that played together the whole time. And sure enough, week four, all different. And week five will be different, but maybe not. So as far as the offensive line, Giants fans we've been promised for 10 years now that the line was going to be a source of power, hog mollies, this and that. And I do think that Gettleman tried and dropped the ball. His concentration was elsewhere. Even when we got some players, we couldn't even hold them like a Zeitler. So it still is a bad taste in Giant fans' mouths. As far as the Saints game, holy crap, did they come to play.
I haven't seen anything like it. It's been so long.
All Giant fans were so proud of them. They did such a great job. Do we expect that going forward? I mean, of course we do, but that was unbelievable. That was they put it all together and had a great game. As far as Thomas is concerned, I don't know, man. I'll let you know. Give me a few more weeks. Give me the end of this season, because although he played well towards the end last year and he played poorly in the first game, second game, he's still playing excellent right now. Now, I'm a believer of this year especially. There are no excuses, guys. Stop with the excuses. Stop with the well, they played good in the second half. No, that's done. So you need to play good from the first snap to the last snap. And that's what Thomas did, and he's doing an excellent job right now. I still am not going to say he's elite. I'm not going to say anything but good job. I'll see you at the end of the year. And when you pulled off an unbelievable year, I'd be like, yo, that dude is something else. But don't hand me any stat in the fourth game. That's not going to mean anything when in the seventh game, let's say he craps the bed and we're having this conversation again, and you're like, oh, remember when I asked you if he's elite? Yeah, he's not. So we'll see.
Right.
I like that.
I'm knocking on wood. I don't want to jinx him either.
It was like the Giants were going into score last week, and I wrote on Twitter, I'm like, I ain't saying a word until the game is over, and then I'll say something.
Yeah, I watched most of that game in complete silence just to make sure I didn't say a word.
Everybody else.
So fast forwarding to after that game, well, the next day is one of my favorite traditions that you do, and not many people know this about you, but it's your Victory Monday tradition, where after the Giants win, I'll let you explain more because it's your thing. Yeah, but I think people don't realize the charity work that you do and what you do for the community, not just here in Rockland, but the entire tri-state area for the most part. So Victory Monday is one example. Your softball event that you run at Boulder Stadium, the auction you're having with Logan Ryan now on that, I saw that on your Instagram. So just talk a little bit about Victory Monday or the other charitable work that you've been doing.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for bringing that up, because I really love when I get asked that, to be honest with you. And I don't think I want to start off by saying I wouldn't have this charitable work. I wouldn't have you giving me these compliments if it wasn't for Giant fans everywhere. Cause you know, I'm not spending hundreds of dollars on strangers. So if I didn't have this platform and I didn't have guys like you guys giving $2, $3, $5, $10, I wouldn't be able to do it. So the softball game speaks for itself. The greatest thing I ever did in my life, 3 years in a row, Landon Collins, somebody's softball game, raised over $100,000. And I had 100 New York Giants in Rockland County for 3 years in a row. And the Giants can't even get 100 players to come back for them. So that speaks for itself. It's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. And I'm going to bring it back. As far as the charitable work that I've been doing on my social media, it's been incredible. I raised, you know, $3,000 for Blake Martinez. I raised $7,000 for Darnay Holmes, Leonard Williams. I mean, there's so many people we raised money for, which is crazy. It's so much fun. But the Victory Monday. So a few years ago, the Giants won a game. Ooh. And I was online at Dunkin' Donuts, and I was just like, yo, I'm buying coffee for everybody. Thank God there was only like two people behind me, by the way. So I'm like, I'm buying coffee and donuts for everybody. And I put it online. I didn't think it was anything. And I did. I got a couple of people coffee and donuts, and we were all happy. The Giants won, and, you know, probably a Jets fan anyway behind me. But, you know, everybody was happy.
We're all New Yorkers. It's okay.
It doesn't matter. Giants won. I don't care. It doesn't matter. So, unless you're a Dallas fan. So, the next week or the next, whenever the Giants won again, somebody sent me like $25. I don't even know how they got my Venmo or whatever. I don't even know what happened, but they gave me like $25. And I was like, what is this for? And they're like, coffee. And I'm like, yes, coffee. And sure enough, you know, I did it every single victory. And here's the coolest thing. Like, so the game ends in New Orleans, and I'm real happy. I mean, I'm real happy. I don't mind the traffic. I don't mind the delay in my flight. I don't mind anything. And I come home, and of course, I tell everybody, can't wait to buy coffee tomorrow. I wake up to $525. Now, you guys might say, oh, wow, $525. That's incredible. Dude, we're talking $2, $3, $5 a person, $500. So that's a ton of money. So, you know, I got to the counter in the morning. I said, give me 20 cards of $25 each. And then what I do is I go around Yonkers where I work. I got up so early. I was so pissed that I got $2,500. It's going to take me forever to get rid of the cards. And I started going to like all the workers in the area. And I caught some crap on social media, like, you know, don't give it to them. They make more than us. Or why are you giving it to him? He's not even a Giants fan. Look, I'm not giving $25 to someone that I know that can afford $25. I'm going to give it to somebody that's either out there in the rain freezing working, or a guy that's on the side sweeping the freaking sidewalk, who probably hasn't had $25 cards for Dunkin' Donuts his whole life. And I handed them out and I put it on social media, and people really like it. And when I can make someone happy and they like that, I'm going to do it every single victory for the rest of my life.
That's just awesome. And I think one of my favorite things of having guests on is just hearing stories like this. You know, it's just so cool to hear. And it's just one of my favorite things to listen to when we have new guests on. So speaking of favorite things, to kind of go back a little bit, if you had to give me, you know, your top five Giants ever, or three, whatever is easier for you, you know, cause you've seen quite a, you know, from legends from, like you said, Lawrence Taylor to Eli Manning to even, you know, I know Odell Beckham is a long lost name now, but he was a big star for the Giants then. So out of all the Giants from all the years you watched and been a fan of, what are your like top five?
So if you could see my ceiling, so I have about 60 signatures on my ceiling. So when I start, why I bring that up is these are some of my favorite people, you know, and it's, you know, like, it's not fair to pick one, like Stephen Baker's on my ceiling. We hung out, we played shuffleboard in my garage and watched, you know, a Monday Night Football game, but he's not one of my favorite Giants ever. Do you know what I mean? So it's a very hard question to answer because he would be one of my good friends forever. Chase Blackburn is one of my best friends in the world. Brandon Jacobs, one of my best friends in the world. So I'm going to answer that question in a little different way. I'm going to answer it with what I think the crowd would settle with. And when I say that, you guys were not around for Lawrence Taylor. There wasn't another jersey in the stadium. Think about going to a Giants game. Think about all the jerseys you see and only see 56. I'm not joking. Only. There wasn't another jersey in the stadium at some points. So how mind-boggling is that? You couldn't, there was no Super Bowl 40. You know, there was no Super Bowl anything, but then there was no Super Bowl 25, there was no Super Bowl 42, no Super Bowl 46. So all of those players, you know, there was just Lawrence Taylor. So Lawrence Taylor is my number one no matter what. And because he's probably the greatest defensive player to ever play the game. He literally changed the game of football. He changed the way you drafted a lineman. You changed your offensive game plan. You made the left tackle, the most expensive person to play. So Lawrence Taylor by far is top one. And I'm going to surprise you with this one. Before, Giant fans were so starving for another fan favorite. And by the way, Eli hands down is in my top three. So we'll just, I don't even have to give his resume. He just consummate pro, Derek Jeter of football. I can go on and on. But the guy, I'm not gonna say that's what I was talking about. I'm talking about Cruz. And why I say that was, how great was it when he caught a ball and 70,000 fans would yell Cruz? He captivated. He really did captivate for an undrafted player. He captivated the fan base at some point. And if you really go back and look at some of his games, he really came through when the Giants needed him. And, you know, although, you know, many people would disagree with this one, who took over for Cruz? Beckham, and he electrified the crowd. Don't get into his ridiculous interview, which was so dumb on his part. Don't get into the pissing in the end zone or the kicking net incident, and really was taking away from the Giants. But on the field, he captivated, you know, an entire fan base, if you really want to know the truth. I do feel bad for him, and I'll tell you why. I feel like he was a distraction, but he was a distraction because the Giants sucked. Would he have been a distraction or a comedian if the Giants were really good? And we'll never know the answer to that. So, but whatever. You know, I'm not saying they're my favorite, but I'm just saying what it was like to be in the stands. And that not taking anything away from Justin Tuck, who's probably in my top five, or players like that, or any running back that you could possibly, you know, think of.
Yeah, I'm like speaking to the Victor Cruz, I remember that Christmas Eve against Fromm's Jets, and when he, and again, not even the Giants fan, I'm not a Giants fan, but just to like see that on Christmas Eve, big holiday, obviously, and then like Jets, Giants, what a big game, the two New York teams, and then for him to make a play, and that was young in his career, right? Like he was only And to make a play,
remember Revis? I don't even know that guy's name. Oh yeah, okay, all right. I'll tell you a really funny story. All right, so a week before that game, I take my daughter to the game. So that's my daughter, and we're looking pretty upset, right? So the funny part about that newspaper back cover is I think she dropped her M&Ms or something. That's really what we're upset about, by the way, which I think is the funniest part. And then they're like, click, click, click. Oh, Giants suck. And then look at these poor fans. But I was really her candy that dropped. But anyway, that article came out. And then what it says on the bottom is set up for a matchup with the Jets next week. Now, you guys know what I did that week? Josh, do you know? Because it has something to do with your team.
I don't know. Oh, was it something with Fireman Ed?
So Boomer and Carton had Fireman Ed and I on the show. And I never forget him saying, Carton. He's like, so are you worried at all? I'm like, I'm not worried at all, Carton. He's like, oh, terrible guest. Terrible. You're not worried at all? I'm like, I'm not worried at all. It's a Christmas miracle. I couldn't have said or done anything better than that, because when Cruz did that 99 yards, and I'm like, it was euphoric. It was incredible. And then to go on and win a Super Bowl, I mean, come on, not for you, Josh, but for us. So, I mean, it was the greatest thing ever. And yeah, we owe a lot of that season to Victor Cruz.
And you can't forget about the salsa, you know, the little salsa.
No, definitely cannot.
Yeah, that was good. And then, you know, some of Odell's dances were funny, but like you said, with the dog pissing one,
he pushed the limit a little too far, and you know, at the bottom line, he got what he deserved at the end. And you know, I miss him, and I just would have liked to have seen what would happen if he was on a good team. That's all.
Before I get to my question, just while we're continuing this Odell conversation, you're one of the few, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, you're on the show, but out of all the Giants fans I've talked to, you're one of the few people that has actually acknowledged the fact that because of how the overall team was doing, that's what the reflection on Odell was. If we were a better team, he would have been seen as top three receiver in the league for his skill.
I think so.
So it was, yeah, that feels like such a different time seeing him 13 and blue, and now he's with Cleveland, and he can't even get a healthy season going for him. And I do feel for the guy because he's very talented. But so we've talked about a bunch of different Giants players who have had a, you know, their majority of their career has been with the team, Eli, LT, Victor Cruz. But you look at this current Giants team, and Sterling Shepard is currently the longest tenured guy on the team. And that was 5 years ago. So with all the different, you know, moves that the Giants have made, in your opinion, whether it was a trade, whether it was a signing, whether it was someone we took in the draft, what do you think in the past 5 years has been an underrated move on the organization's end that fans won't acknowledge for years down the road, but you see it as something that's really gonna help us?
Wow, an underrated move. That's actually a really good question, but the way you started that question off, I was going to say to you, it's not fair to bring up the past and have long-standing careers with a team, because when you were a kid and you got Lawrence Taylor jersey, you knew your jersey was good for 10 years. You know, you fast forward to when you're a teenager and you go and get a David Wilson jersey. Oh, that's a bad example because he got hurt. But you could, you know, a Dre Baker jersey. You know, because that's another bad example, but you know, thinking he's going to be on the team, you know, a long time. Dalvin Tomlinson, let's just stick with that one.
I miss him.
And you get that player. You know, you have to be careful, because at the end of the day, it's a business, and with salary caps and this and that. And now, to be honest with you, I'm going to get jerseys. I'm literally going to get jerseys of Giants now. I'm not going to waste my time. No, that's not true. I'm going to waste my time. I'm not going to get single players anymore. I'd rather, you know, just get team-themed jerseys.
Oh, I like
so, that. So, you know, I think there's no way – you have to look at it that way. But getting back to your question, man, I'm at a loss right now, and normally I'm never at a loss for words. That's a really good question. What are we not going to realize for years to come? I'm going to say two words to you, and that's it, because I'm trying to think so hard as I'm talking, you know, of the Odell trade or letting B.J. Hill go. It wasn't a, you know, tremendous loss. Or signing Leonard Williams or Blake Martinez or, you know, Adoree. So I'm really, really thinking about your question. But I'm going to – the way you put it, and we're not going to know for years to come, two words, my brother, Daniel Jones.
I like that.
Because if we have this conversation in 3 years from now and he has two solid playoff appearances, an NFC championship win, a Super Bowl showing maybe, then Gettleman made the right pick. And I want to tell you guys something. You guys follow me. I never wanted Haskins. I did want Rosen that draft. Might not have been the best choice. I didn't want Barkley. I wanted Barkley, just didn't want Barkley at two.
Okay.
But if you – greatest athlete in the draft, of course I wanted Barkley. Didn't want him at two. And for that, I will forever dislike Gettleman for not picking up the phone and going back two or three steps, getting another extra number one, maybe getting Barkley again and someone else. So that really, really bothers me. But I want to clear the air on something which I've said a million times. My reaction to Daniel Jones, which I'm sure you guys know because you follow, my reaction was not to Daniel Jones. My reaction was not getting Josh Allen. The Giants, 1,000% needed an immediate impact defensive player. We had no freaking pass rush, and I really wanted Devin White. I hung out with three players the night before the draft at the draft hotel. One was Devin White, who was awesome. Two was Daniel Jones, who I said, you're going to look great in blue, not at six. And three was someone else. And I remember the Bucks taking White, and I was heartbroken. I really think that if he was there in the Giants, I would have had a worse face than Josh Allen, because Josh Allen doesn't look like he is all world. And then the Raiders take their crappy pick. And then here it goes. The Giants select Allen. And it wasn't Allen, I heard. And I'm like, what'd he say? You know, he didn't say Josh Allen. And he said Daniel Jones. Now, look, I did say that I wanted Daniel Jones on record, not at six. So the end result, get back to me in 3 to 5 years. This year, he better do something, which he is.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not everybody around him, but he is. And I said there'd be no excuses this year for him. He better show up or the Giants be looking for a quarterback. I believe they have a quarterback.
He's certainly playing like it, you know, putting up over 400 yards against – one of the top defenses in the league. I was very impressed. And, you know, I'll admit I've, you know, been on the record on the show saying that I'm, you know, not a fan of him and this and that, which is true, because in the beginning he was struggling. He was turning the ball over so much. But this season I am seeing a real turnaround, and I'm seeing the biggest thing that I'm seeing with him is confidence in the pocket. That was one of his biggest issues, and I'm seeing the confidence in him, and I really hope he continues to ride it, because
one of the biggest things that killed me this year, and I mean killed me, I was so mad at this. What was the first quarterback to have? It was Lamar Jackson a few weeks ago. First quarterback to throw over whatever and run for whatever.
Yeah.
But that was the Daniel Jones holding penalty on C.J. Board that got called back. And the Slayton drop, or Daniel Jones would have been the first quarterback to run for this, and the first quarterback. And the next week they come out with Lamar Jackson doing. And I was like, I felt so bad for him because of how much he struggled with the fan base. Not to have that he'll get his own records because he's faster than Lamar. But I think the Giants have their quarterback, and I just hope he keeps improving every day.
I was going to say, speaking of Daniel Jones, he's received a bunch of compliments and critics and probably one of the most harsh environments in all of sports. What do you think has led to this improvement that we've been seeing?
Well, it's not Jason Garrett. I would go back to what Alex said, and that's confidence. Any quarterback that gets into the league has got to be scared shitless. I believe it's the hardest thing to do in all of sports. You got these guys that are coming to kill you, you know, and then monsters that are blocking them that you can't freaking see around. I really believe it's the hardest skill position to play. Besides, you have defensive backs too, but I'll go with confidence. He has definitely put himself in the weight room. And what else could you possibly say other than spending time getting his nose in the playbook, getting the timing down with his receivers, spending that time in the offseason at Duke and UCLA where he's throwing with his receivers. So, you know, calling him up and saying, hey, Shep, what are you doing? Let's go to the high school and throw the ball around. So I believe it overall matureness and professionalism as a quarterback. But if there's one word, it's confidence.
I was going to say, too, his turnover rate has improved greatly. And I don't count the interception before halftime. And I don't count going back to last season when Engram went off his fingers. I don't count that. He's gone 10 straight without an interception.
Look, I'm with you on there. It's funny. I didn't tweet this. I was going to, but I didn't want to hear from all the negative Giant fans. The Giants are setting up for a Hail Mary, and I turn to my friend Danny, who I sit with at the games, and I'm like, could you imagine this being, you know, this first? And then sure enough. So, hey, look, we got to count them, by the way. So stop saying you're not counting them. It counts. But I know. I'm only kidding. But it, I'm with you on that. He is taking care of the ball, and that's it. And, you know, I'm not a big stat guy. So get back to me, like I said, in 3, 4, 5 weeks. Let's not crown anybody anything, although I really like what's going on. At least
myself included, and sounds good. 5 weeks, we'll reconvene.
No doubt.
Joe, before we wrap up this interview, we like to end our show with a little fantasy segment we like to call Start'em and Sit'em. And we have a little twist for you, being the Giant fan you are. Giants obviously have a huge game this week in Dallas against the Cowboys. So give me one player, could be offense or defense.
Kadarius Toney.
Perfect.
Kadarius freaking Toney. Dallas Cowboys play some man. They are going to try and play Kadarius Toney man. The Giants are going to use that as a weapon. Kadarius Toney. Is Shep out yet or in?
They were limited at practice last time I checked.
Yeah, him and Slayton were both limited. So
I saw that too. I'm going to say Kadarius Toney 95% without Shep. I'm still going to say Kadarius Toney 75% with Shep. That's how much I believe that he's going to rise to the occasion. This is no surprise. I'll sit Engram.
That's two very solid choices. Kadarius Toney has been very impressive the last week.
One game.
Oh, it was only one. It seemed like it was more. It seemed like it was two.
It does. It does. Hey, look, you know, I've been tearing up the Giants, which is, you know me, I'm a big homer, but I haven't been tearing them up. I've been questioning why the hell Kadarius Toney hasn't been the guy you saw Sunday for four straight freaking weeks. And I say that because it's like buying a new Ferrari and not being allowed to drive it or not being allowed to get out of first gear. And that kills me. But I did hear, and I'm not breaking any news here because I won't say who or anything, but I did hear he was struggling a little bit in practice. And maybe had some Dre Baker stuff in meetings. So he has to become a better pro before his ass could be a better on the field. And why I tell you that now and why I love telling you is because none of us knew about it, because Joe Judge must have a tight ass ship. And I like that.
Oh yeah. Joe Judge, for me, what I've loved about him being the new coach the most is that, and no disrespect to Coughlin, of course, because Coughlin's the guy. The other guys after him, I don't even acknowledge. But Joe Judge is the type of guy that players want to play for, and I think that's been the big turnaround with this team.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's funny, I wore a Joe Judge jersey to New Orleans, and before the game, they were just practicing on the field, and like he turned around and looked at me, and I looked at him, and you know, I felt like a little kid. We just nodded. Like he was like, and I was like, yeah, we didn't even say a word. Like, he was just like, nice jersey, you know, in his head. And I'm like, you see this, right? And we just nodded at each other, right? And it's funny because his wife hit me up on social media. One, where'd you get the jersey? Two, wear it again.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty funny.
It could be like that, the superstition, you know? The
Joe Judge jersey.
You never know, yeah.
So before you leave, all of us are wondering, what jersey are you wearing to Dallas this week?
Let's see. Maybe I'll have you guys pick it for me.
All right.
We'll let the two Giants fans pick it.
You know what? It's funny. It is breast cancer awareness.
Do you have any of those themed jerseys?
Breast cancer awareness? I have every awareness.
Fair enough.
Let's see. The breast cancer awareness would be...
Or do you have a Tony jersey if you're saying he's going to be the X Factor?
Oh, I like that one, though.
That's beautiful.
One. Yeah.
So this might... I might.
Since the Cowboys usually wear white...
Wait, we're in... When is Salute to Service?
November.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Joe, I mean, now, like, for the Cowboys, they wear white at home. Do you usually try to wear, like, blue with the Giants, or do you just wear white, like, for the road?
Oh, I like that one a lot, too. That's a sick jersey.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know what? Steve, I got something special for you. Yeah, now I got to go get it.
Can't wait to see what it is.
While he is quickly getting that, boys, what an episode this has been. I know for Josh and Steve, you guys are the non-Giants fans of the group, but I hope you're getting as much of a pleasure out of this as I am. I mean, this has just been great.
Dude, I feel like a kid in the candy store right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I haven't, like, this grin hasn't come off my mug the entire time.
This is the longest it's been for a Giant fan this year, it seems like.
It's just refreshing to have a positive talk about the Giants and not just bashing them and hearing stories. And it's been great. It's, you know, I feel like this interview kind of revived me a little bit, and now I'm very excited for Sunday's game. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Joker. Oh, I love that.
Hey, there we go. There's a Bears, baby.
I mean, we're getting a Bears number one. I might as well wear it.
Exactly. Hey, wait. I'll show you. Hold on 1 second. I got something for you now.
I think I might go with Galladay.
Oh, that Galladay one is really nice.
I think that may be the move.
I think I might have to go Galladay. I don't know. We'll see.
I say go the Galladay one.
Yeah. So that's my, or I might just go straight Eli shirt.
Oh, the Eli dad bod.
You got a Fields jersey already?
Come on, it was a birthday present. So I've had it for a few months now.
I know, but he's going to be traded next year.
Oh, come on, please don't say that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
Steve has been through a lot recently, just watching the Bears, and he's a Wisconsin Badger fan, so he doesn't need another heart attack.
That's funny. Hey, it's been great.
Joe, thank you for your time. It was an amazing interview. We look forward to hearing from you soon, and we would love to have you again on the podcast sometime soon.
No problem. I really enjoyed it, and anytime, hit me up. And thank you so much for having me. And I'll tell you what, I enjoyed myself so much. For you four guys, if you guys decide, or I'll tell you what, anybody that follows your podcast, I'll tell you what, if you buy a raffle ticket to the Logan Ryan thing, and you write in the comments to Jay Bromley, because he's the one that gets them, if you write the name of your podcast, every raffle ticket you buy, I'll throw in one on me.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You buy one, you'll get two. You buy three, you'll get six. So all they got to do, in parentheses, write your podcast. So I'll know who it is. I'll tell Jay, and I'll give you an extra one if you decide to do it. And those cleats will be gone on Monday.
Definitely. That's something that I think we all do. So
yeah, we're in.
And then, you know, obviously we all are trying to go to a game too. So if we see you, you know, maybe we'll have to bring the mics and record a live one at the game.
No problem. Just let me know.
Well, of course.
All right, guys. No. Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you again, Joe. True pleasure.
Go Giants, it's an honor. Let's go.
Go Giants.
Blue, baby.
Wow. That, I still.
That was Joe Ruback, also known as Licensed Plate Guy for the New York Football Giants. Castle, you're speechless, and I mean, rightfully so.
He not only is, you know, he just great to talk to, you know, Giants, but he's a very charitable guy, and he's really all about the community. And, you know, I know we joked a little bit about the commercial with Fireman Ed, but and this is not a dig, you know, because I think it's nice that the Jets did recognize him like that, but I don't think the Giants respect Joe enough for what he does. And I took it upon myself to look it up on Instagram. The official Giants Instagram page doesn't follow him. But you know who does follow him? Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. I could keep going on and on. So I think he's a very rare example of a super fan in sports. And I really picked that up today. And it was just one of the most unique conversations, interview experiences I've ever had.
And TJ, for you also I know you want to say something, Steve, but I want to get TJ in because he's the other Giant fan. What was it like hearing like his confidence in guys like Jones, where you may not have had that same amount of confidence? Does that like change your view a bit or something?
I mean, my view on Daniel Jones has changed by itself this season, especially after week one, because I remember our rant, Castle and I were very upset, and rightfully so. But like looking back from week two on, he is not only a lot more confident in the pocket, he's using his legs, he's protecting the ball like a running back would, which wasn't a thing for his first two seasons. And like just being able to go back and forth with such a passionate fan like Joe, it was incredible. And like Castle, just at a loss of words, it was a phenomenal experience. And yeah, I'm just gonna leave it at that.
I think now it's a good time to move into our startups and sit-ems.
Wait, before we do.
Okay.
There's just something that I need to put out there publicly. And that's a thank you to you, Josh. Not too many people know this, but you've done a lot of behind the scenes work to get these guests, Coach Mosley, LPG, David Cantor multiple times. So very, very appreciative of all you do with that. And I just thought the people should know.
Retweet Castle.
Shout out Josh Promowitz, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, boys. Now I think it's a good time to move on to Stardoms and Sit-ems.
Absolutely. Stevie,
you've been pretty hot lately with your picks.
That's right.
Let's continue that that hot streak.
Want me to continue that? I can continue that, you know? So my first Stardom, and I had him on one of my teams, and then I dropped him, and then I picked him up again, and that's James Conner. Now, I have Kyler Murray, love Kyler Murray. But lately, James Conner has been stealing some of Kyler's goal line touches, and he's not really getting as many yards as he did in Pittsburgh. but he's getting those touchdowns. And the back-to-back week, he has scored two touchdowns each. So he has four touchdowns already in the year, just in the past 2 weeks. So it seems like the Cardinals are trying to use him more. I mean, he had 18 attempts last week. And so I think he will do good. My other one would have to be Jacoby Myers of the Patriots. And I don't even know if people even have him, but he's been kind of putting up some pretty good stats. He's playing against, who's he playing against this week? So I'm looking, Houston. Houston's not a good team. They're not a good team at all. And I think he's starting to become one of Mac's go-to targets. So, you know, against New Orleans, he had 9 catches for 94 yards, 14 targets. Last week against Tampa Bay in that awful, crappy game, he had 8 catches for 70 yards on 12 targets. So it seems like Mac Jones likes to target him. So, listen, if you got him, he's a good flex spot. So those are my two. And I might have stole one, so I apologize for that. So promise you can take it away.
Well, one of your picks I'm not too happy about.
I am. I'm very happy. Very happy, Stevie.
I play Castle this week in fantasy, and he has James Conner sitting there right at his flex. Stevie, look what you have done. If I lose because of James Conner, there's going to be a new rant coming to town next week, and it's going to be directed at you.
Ah, nice. So I won't be dishing it. I'll be getting it.
No, you still will be, because the Bears will probably do something that'll make you want to rant.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, though? They did start Justin Fields number one. He's a QB1 now from going forward, so that made me pretty happy.
So Nagy changed his mind. And
But still, screw Nagy, but yeah, continue your promise.
Mr. Castle, I'm only allowing you to give your picks if they're stardoms on my team, so let's hear it.
Okay, I don't think either of them are. So before I do give mine, Jacoby Myers, Stevie, that was a really good one. I picked him up in one of my leagues a couple of weeks ago, and he's an underrated athlete, and I think he'll do a lot. But anyways, getting to mine, the first one might be very obvious if you follow football enough, and that's Damian Williams. Montgomery is going to be out 5 to 6 weeks. Some people that I've spoken to think that depending on how the season goes, he'll be out for the rest of the season. So
I hope not. Then again, I don't want him to rush back and he's not fully healthy.
Exactly. But anyways, he's the new number one in Chicago, and he had a solid career with the Chiefs. I like him. A lot of people expect a good carry load for him. If you haven't picked him up already, you're lucky, then you're in a league with people who don't follow it as much, so get him. And the next guy, in spirit of the LPG interview, is Mr. Kenny Golladay, and I'll tell you why. I'm not a big fan of Dallas' secondary, minus Diggs, and if Shepard and Slayton do not play, which it looks like it because they were sitting at practice today, that according to ESPN, Golladay is starting to develop that relationship with Jones. He's picking up those big chunk of yards, and I think he's going to be looked at in the end zone quite often. So if you have Kenny Golladay, start him. If you've been sitting him, if you've been skeptical because of the Giants, I think this is a good week to start him.
So that would be Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay starting as Giants receivers that you should start in fantasy. Is that correct?
Yep, because, you know, Kenny's the number one and he's developing the relationship. And Tony's going to be that guy on the inside that Jones is just going to dump the ball to, and he's going to do what we drafted him for. Spin, juke. I agree with Joe. I think he's going to have a big game for us.
Hey, I like those two picks. Kenny Golladay, he's got a good matchup with Trevon Diggs, who leads the league in interceptions. Through 4 games, he's got 5 interceptions. So that matchup on the outside with Kenny Galladay, who's a very physical receiver, that's going to be a fun one to watch all day. Even if you're not a Giant or a Cowboy fan, it's just going to be good football to see that. And now, TJ, you got a special stardom. I'm a little worried about this because I don't know what it is. So let's
hear it. Don't you worry. It's nothing crazy. So we all know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right?
Tom Brady, right? Yeah.
It's Eli Manning's son. Anyway, my stardom this week is Leonard Fournette against that Miami defense. All right, hear me out. Against the Patriots, Fournette had 20 carries for 91 yards, 3 catches for 47 yards on 5 targets. I think he's starting to get his feel back. And not to mention, Miami has given up, I believe, 6 rushing touchdowns so far this season to 4 different running backs. So I think with how the Bucs have been playing, I think Leonard Fournette can do it.
Leonard Fournette, eh? I like that. He's honestly like he's revamped himself from what he was in Jacksonville. Then last year he was kind of like the backup running back for the most part behind Ronald Jones. And now it seems like people forget that Ronald Jones is even on the team because Leonard Fournette is taking all the carries. So Brady typically relies on a running back. And yes, I know he has a lot of receivers in Tampa, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronk when he's healthy. But Brady loves his running backs. And Leonard Fournette is that guy he could dump off to and like coming out of the backfield. So especially against that weekend front line of Miami, who you said has given up 6 rushing touchdowns, 4 to different running backs. That's going to be a smart play. I'm sure he's projected high fantasy numbers because of it. So I won't be surprised if he gets into the end zone some way.
I would say he hasn't found the end zone yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if this game he gets in at least once.
A guy as talented as he is due for a touchdown at some point. So this could easily be it against a team who's prone to giving it up. So I like that. That was a good special stardom. So I'm glad you jumped in there, TJ. We might need you to think of a special sit-em then in that case. But in the meantime...
All right, you might have to give me like 5 minutes.
No worries. In the meantime, I'll give mine. So the first one pains me to say it because he's playing my Jets. But I'm happy because I have him sitting in my team. And that's running back Cordarrelle Patterson for the Atlanta Falcons. And he has carried my team this year because as a running back, he is killing defenses with his catching ability. He lines up on the outside. He lines up in the slot. He lines up in the backfield. He'll carry the ball. He's like that Swiss Army knife I said a few weeks ago about Laviska Shenault. But he is finding the end zone a lot. And it's not just screens. It's carries. It's everything. Last week, he had 3 touchdowns in the Falcons' loss to Washington. But they put up 30 points. He had 21 of them himself, basically. So he's been balling since week 1. We all thought Mike Davis was going to be their guy because of what he did in Carolina last year, filling in for Christian McCaffrey, who was hurt. But Mike Davis is kind of seeing his reps go down and down each week. And it's been Cordarrelle Patterson really helping out Matt Ryan. And it was announced earlier today that Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage won't travel with the team because they play in London, so they had to leave today. So without Matt Ryan's top 2 wide receivers, you bet Cordarrelle Patterson will be getting even more reps this week. So Cordarrelle Patterson, if you don't already have him starting, which you probably should because of how many points he's been racking up, you definitely want him in your lineup this week. And my other... This one also pains me. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's a New England Patriot, Hunter Henry. And it's very interesting I say Hunter Henry, because I believe it was Steve a few weeks ago who said you should sit for the time being both New England tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. And I agreed with him 100%. But that is until we saw them actually develop real chemistry with Mac Jones. And yes, they have Jacoby Myers, but that's it. The Patriots are starting to utilize both tight ends in some way. Hunter Henry has gotten in the end zone last week against Tampa Bay, whose defense is pretty good. Their linebackers are arguably one of the best, if not the best in the league. And now this week, New England plays Houston, which we said they're terrible. So I would not be surprised if Hunter Henry gets targeted more often, especially in goal line situations where they need a big target to throw to for a touchdown. So Hunter Henry, that is my other stardom. So Hunter Henry or Daryl Patterson. We're going to move on to sit-ems. We'll go Stevie again. We'll go Stevie.
All righty. So I'm back. I do like the Cordarrelle Patterson pick because I have him starting one of my leagues, and I picked him up, and he just dropped 34 last week, so I cannot wait. But to my sit-ems, my first one, Cortland Sutton, receiver, Denver. And here's the thing. I know what Teddy Two Gloves got hurt, right? Concussion, questionable. So if Drew Lock plays, listen, I think Drew Lock, I like him as a person. I don't like him as a football player. He's not the best. He hasn't really shown anything good. That's why Denver got Teddy Bridgewater. That's why Teddy Bridgewater was named the starter. So, and I just, Cortland Sutton, ever since he's came back, he had one big week two against Jacksonville. But since then, I mean, against the Giants, he did nothing, while a lot of the rest of the receivers did pretty well. He went off against Jacksonville. Even the Jets, who, sorry for Amos, don't have the best secondary, he was pretty locked up by them. And then Baltimore, who has a pretty solid secondary, again, just clamped him. So now he's playing Pittsburgh still, their offense sucks, but their defense is still pretty legit. So I just don't see him do anything. And if he's got a new quarterback and the chemistry's off, I don't like that. So sit him. And this one might surprise you people. And I like to throw some surprises, especially with the sit-ems. And that is George Kittle, tight end with the 49ers. And yeah, I know. For Amit, you give me the eye, like, what the hell's wrong with you? There's a lot wrong with me. But here's the thing. First of all, he's got an injured calf. Now, you know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I have a leg, when my knee hurts, I don't want to even walk, you know? And that's just like maybe like growing pains because I'm so small or whatever. But, you know, for me, the little bit of pain, like I just want to sit down. So imagine hurting your calf. And now he's kind of been hurt a little bit and he didn't practice Thursday. He didn't practice today. So, you know, who knows how bad it really is. And then against Seattle, who doesn't have the best defense, as we know, he only got 8 points last week. And I don't know with Jimmy G and Trey Lance who's starting. So, you know, obviously they're saying Jimmy G should have been out for a couple weeks. Now, Coach Shanahan's saying that he might play. So you don't know there. And then if Kittle's not 100%, and then they're going against Arizona, who I'll say this, Arizona's got a great team, not only on offense, but on defense. And I think they will lock him up. I think they will, you know, try to focus all their attention on Kittle and Debo. So I'm just saying, I don't expect, and Kittle, to be honest, has only had one really solid game, and that was against Green Bay. But he has not scored yet. He just had 92 yards that game. But every other game, he hasn't gone off. It's not like he's gone off every single week. Like, he has not been what he's been in the past. So I think that he should be a sit, unless you really have no one else to put him at in that tight end spot. But if you got someone else that's pretty solid, I think you start him. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot wrong with me, but I think you should listen to me on this. So I'm going to end it there.
Very controversial. I'm with sitting George Kittle, but, you know, poor Stevie with his little calf pains. I understand where you're coming from.
Well, they're not calf pains. They're knee pains, you know, but back when I was going through my little growth spurt, you know, like when I was grew the
still two hasn't inches. Happened yet.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for a little bit more, but, you know, a little bit of growing and, you know, my knees hurt. So unless I'm just getting older, you know.
Old man Stevie giving fantasy advice. I could see it. I don't know if I agree with that one, only because Trey Lance is starting and not Jimmy G. I think he'll look to his big target more often as opposed to like looking at Ayuk or Samuel.
I think he's going to want to look at Samuel and Ayuk, or he's going to want to run.
So
Kittle's more
than safe. But I do agree. I think it's a risky pick.
Oh, it definitely is. But come on, we got to keep the people on their feet.
Stevie's all about risky picks. Before Castle goes, TJ, like I promised, you had another special sit-em. So give the people what they want to hear.
All right. So this may be a shock, maybe not, but I'm going with sitting Juju Smith-Schuster. You heard me. The Steelers have, I don't know what to put on the Steelers. They've been struggling. We don't know why. Well, we might know why, but against the Packers, he had 2 catches for 8 yards. And Claypool wasn't even playing in this game because he was out with an injury. So Juju was the prime go-to target, and he was held to under 10 yards. So I don't know what this week is going to look like. You could start him at best at your number 3. If not, put him on the bench till next week.
Sit Juju Smith-Schuster. It sounds like it's a weekly occurrence on this show because someone's always sitting Juju. And
it's either Juju or Evan Engram.
Yeah, it's for all the right reasons. Big Ben looks like a 40-year-old. He's not Tom Brady. He looks like he should have retired last year when he actually got hurt for like the millionth time. Now his O-line really isn't helping. His receivers aren't getting open quick enough. The run game isn't there to allow the passing game to develop. So it's no surprise that Claypool, Juju, Deontay Johnson are struggling. So sitting Juju again is the right call. Castle, I don't even know if I want to hear, because I'm sure you're going to sit some of my guys on purpose and work some fantasy luck to make me lose in fantasy this week. So I might have to cover my ears for this one.
I'm pretty sure you don't have either of these guys. Let me just take a look quickly, but while I do, TJ, I think your sit is very solid. I think that you're right, Josh. We usually are saying to sit one of the Steelers players. And Steve, I think your Kittle sit is bold, but I agree with it because he hasn't been producing the numbers that he should. I do agree that it could be risky with the quarterback change, but I like it. Josh, you don't have either of these guys, so we're good. But one of the guys that I'm going to name, Steve, I hope we have no hard feelings after, and that's Allen Robinson.
No, we don't. We do not.
Okay.
He's good. Even if it's not him, he hasn't put up the numbers, so I can't expect it to. He's on my bench, but take it away. Sorry.
Going on the record that little Steve said A-Rob sucks.
Okay, I take that back.
He doesn't suck, but he's not putting up the numbers that he should. And it's a big matchup for the Bears this weekend. It's, correct me if I'm wrong, this is Fields' first official start as the QB for the rest of the season, or this is his second start?
So he started against the Lions for the whole game, but that was still when Andy Dalton's out. But this is now, I guess, technically his second full career start, but I guess okay. His first one as, like, legitimately being QB1 for the rest of the season.
Okay. So with that being said, he's going up against the Raiders in Vegas, a team that only lost their first game of the season last week. They're, you know, Gruden's going to, you know, Gruden, we all know that Gruden, before he got back into coaching, he had the QB room. Gruden is a very good QB guy, and I think he'll know how to expose Fields. And I just think it's going to be tough competition for Robinson. I think it's going to be a struggle. So don't start him. And the other guy I'm telling you to sit is Miles Sanders. another guy who hasn't been producing the numbers he really should. I feel like Hurts has been throwing the ball a lot more. But the real kicker for why you shouldn't start Sanders is they're playing one of the hottest defenses in the league right now with the Panthers. If you have to play Sanders, okay, play him. I'm sure he'll get you some points, but if you can avoid it, avoid it. And that's who I'm saying to sit this week.
You had to throw in an Eagle. I think that's just biased Giant, a Giant fan wanting to sit someone in the division.
Hey, I could have said Dallas.
You could have easily said Dak or Zeke.
Then I'd be fooling everyone because both of them are having a great season so far. See, I can be honest.
Good, because I have Dak against you this week, so I need Dak to actually go off.
Sorry, we need that defense to finally step up.
They can next week. So, before we wrap up the show, I will give my two sits. The first of my two running backs that I'm going to sit is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kansas City Chiefs running back. And I believe I've sat him before because he's been underperforming. And yes, the Chiefs won last week. And yes, I said they were getting close to the danger zone. And that's because they don't have a run game. And that still hasn't changed. Edwards-Helaire just hasn't been impressive. They just signed Josh Gordon, so I think they're going to try to get him involved even more and force their passing game. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire just hasn't been there this year. I don't know what about him has changed from year one to year two, but he just doesn't look right running the ball. And the other person who doesn't look right either is Josh Jacobs, running back for Las Vegas. And yes, they're winning, but Jacobs has already missed two games with an injury, and he seemed to be still dealing with that toe injury last week in the loss to the Chargers. I don't know what the issue is with him, but he does not look close to being healthy. He looks very injured right now when he runs the ball, and they have no problem getting Kenyon Drake or Peyton Barber the ball instead of Jacobs. So I don't think he magically is going to heal in the course of a week. So those are my two sits, Jacobs and Edwards-Helaire. That was a long show, boys, but it was a very good one. Once again, we want to thank Joe Ruback, LPG, License Plate Guy, New York Giants superfan, for joining us. Quick shout out to TJ Hummel. TJ, thank you so much for joining us today. Loved your feedback for Stardoms and Sit-ems and your questions that you offered for Joe, being the Giant fan that you are. Took the weight off Castle a little bit. And Kevin from Wild Chat Sports, always a great partner. He released his own interview, I think today, with Chris Copeland, former New York Knicks. So go check that out at Wild Chat Sports. And until next time, thank you, everyone.